turn into skeletons in the moonlight. Now Bruckheimer's interest was piqued. He called Cook to say he was interested in something that would merge the pirate and supernatural genres. As the new writers went to work on the script, Bruckheimer flew to Saint-Tropez to meet with actor Johnny Depp. Depp, the sultry, iconoclastic star of the cult classics Ed Wood, Edward Scissorhands, and What's Eating Gilbert Grape, was hardly an obvious choice for a Disney action adventure. Depp had turned down the chance to star in such mainstream hits as Speed and Titanic. Nor had his films been big commercial successes. But Depp and his companion, French actress Vanessa Paradis, now had two young children, and Depp had hinted that he was interested in performing in films his children might enjoy watching. It would be hard to imagine a more striking contrast between the bohemian, irreverent Depp and the conventional, button-down demeanor of Dick Cook. But the two had met 6 months earlier and had gotten along surprisingly well. Cook stressed that he hoped Disney and the actor could work together. Still, a pirate movie conjuring up dated images of Errol Flynn with earrings and bandana was hardly what Depp had in mind. Bruckheimer stressed that this wasn't going to be a conventional pirate movie, especially if Depp took the lead role of the renegade pirate Jack Sparrow. Bruckheimer wanted to reinvent the genre. With Depp at least interested, Bruckheimer approached director Gore Verbinski, someone he'd been talking to since Con Air. A former rock guitarist, Verbinski had moved from directing music videos to the cult horror hit The Ring. "I thought the pirate genre was extinct," Verbinski told Bruckheimer. But the more Verbinski thought about it, the more intriguing the project sounded, especially if Depp committed to it. With Bruckheimer attached, he knew he'd get a big budget. If they failed, they'd fail big. He liked the element of risk. When else would he get a chance to do a big-budget pirate movie? With Depp still uncommitted, Verbinski met the actor in London. Depp was having some trouble with the notion of working for Disney, which symbolized everything he wasn't. "What can we do that will really freak the studio out?" Depp wondered. "Pirates are gross and disgusting," Verbinski pointed out, encouraging Depp to use his imagination. "Yeah, that's great," Depp said. Then he had an inspiration. Jack Sparrow would already have had his nose cut off, leaving nothing but a bloody wound. "I could play the whole part without a nose," Depp enthused. "Uh-huh," Verbinski replied, noncommittal. He knew that would never fly, but why make an issue of it? "See how liberating this could be?" Verbinski continued, noting that there was another straight part, the romantic hero, which meant the Sparrow character could be as eccentric as Depp wanted. Images started popping into Depp's mind. Lee Marvin in Cat Ballou, rock stars, Keith Richards prancing around the stage as lead guitarist for the Rolling Stones. "This could be the end of our careers," Verbinski mused, "but let's have fun." Once Depp committed to do the film, for a relatively modest fee but also a cut of the gross, Verbinski turned to Orlando Bloom for the role of the straight romantic lead and sent a script and cover letter to Jeffrey Rush, whom he wanted for the part of Barbossa, the villain and pirate captain. Barbossa is both treacherous and charming and requires a commitment to that wondrous archetype of villainy that has been missing from cinema for so long, Verbinski wrote Rush in a cover letter with the script.